Amen. Romans 5 and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. I don't know about you. All I know is about me and my personal walk with God. I am going to look for grace. I'm not looking for sin. I'm not looking at the abounding of sin. And it is promoted and it is talked about and it is brought about like it's everywhere. And nothing is good and everything is bad. And I'm telling you, there are those in the church that feel that way, that nothing is good, everything is bad. And sometimes I have talked with preachers. If I were to give you the name, you would know who I'm talking about. Very well known, speaks at conferences. And when it comes time to answer the question, well, how's your church doing? We're just holding on. Are you having revival? No, we're not having revival. And I thought, dear God, help us. Amen. I don't want to preach us as this is a saying from my pastor, all right? And some of that I gleaned from him. I don't want to preach us into a Cadillac tonight and walk out of the church and get in a Volkswagen and drive away. Amen. Well, praise God. If anything, amen. We're going to leave this place with an enthusiasm and a desire and a zeal to do the will of God. I want to do the will of God. God's still almighty. God's still everything that he always was and always will be. Praise God. Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. And I'm going to say grace does much more abound. Amen. And I want to preach tonight, we have more than enough. Well, praise God, we have more than enough. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for truth tonight. Anoint the Word of God. Speak to our hearts. We give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, can we give the Lord a hand clap of thanks together tonight? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated, and we're going to get right into the Word of the Lord. I don't plan to preach a long time tonight. I know we have a dinner afterwards, and yet I feel like the Lord wants to speak to somebody's heart tonight. Excuse me. If I reach one person tonight, if I am preaching to one person, I hope that the rest of us here tonight will help me to reach out to that one individual here tonight. And I don't have any name in my mind. I may be missing it completely, but I don't think that I am. Amen. You know, it's so very easy tonight to think that we are not up to what we ought to be in this world. There is the spirit of intimidation in this world today, and that spirit of intimidation will tell you that you're a loser. That spirit of intimidation will tell you that your living for God is in vain. That spirit of intimidation will tell you when you fall and you do your best and then you fall, but you get back up. The spirit of intimidation will tell you there's no reason to get up because you're a loser and there's no way that you're going to make it. Amen. And yet I'm here to preach to someone here tonight that we have more than enough. That you have more than enough, amen, to find the victory that you're looking for and that you desire in your life. The joy and the peace and everything that you're looking for, it's right there in your hand, amen. It is right here where you're sitting tonight. Amen. It's right here in this place where you can find what you're looking for. Praise God. Because we have more than enough. Amen. We have more than enough. You have more than enough at your disposal tonight. Amen. It would be like going back to the Cadillac thing. If the Cadillac cost $10,000 and you had $20,000 in the bank, but all you did was sit around and say, oh, I would like to have that Cadillac, but I just can't afford it. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's foolishness for us to think, amen, that we are subjected to the spirits of this world. Oh, yes, we fight against them. We war not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers. Amen. But God has given us the whole armor of God that we will be overcomers. Well, praise God. We don't dress up with our spear and our shield and our sword and our shoes and our breastplate and all of those other things that God gave us so that we can get in a parade and march in a parade. Amen. But that sword has got blood on it. Amen. Well, praise God. That breastplate has got some nicks in it. Amen. There's some things that the shoes have in them and on them. Amen. From marching and going into battle. Praise God. I'm here to tell us tonight we've got more than enough. Praise God. More than enough for revival. More than enough for victory. More than enough for joy. Amen. It's available to us in the kingdom of God. It's available to us by the word of God. Well, praise the Lord. I've got more than enough tonight. Praise God. The Bible tells us that we have treasures that are available to us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 through, well, starting with verse 3. And it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. The gospel of Christ, I'm sorry. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Amen. We have some treasures here tonight. Amen. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. We have the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that beautiful treasure, I'm going to talk about it here in just a moment. But that treasure that we have is the next verses there. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And so what God has given to us is a treasure in this earthen vessel. You say, I don't have enough. I'm telling you tonight, you're fooling yourself. You do have enough. God has given it to us. It's enough to have victory. It's enough to have joy. It's enough to have everything that God said we could have. For God, everybody said God. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That's the God of Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be light. Amen. When God said, let there be light, I've just got a feeling that it was much, much more than somebody flipping on a light switch and all of a sudden it was white light everywhere. But I've got a feeling when God said, let there be light, all of a sudden there was a streak of blue that went across the sky. Amen. Beautiful blue color. And then all of a sudden in the other direction came a swipe of red. Amen. And the primary colors came together and they began to swirl with each other. And before you know it, all of a sudden this beautiful bright white light came out and it filled the whole universe, whatever it is that God made. Amen. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And when God commanded the light to shine, it had to shine. Well, praise God. Because when God commands something, it's going to happen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And when he commanded the light to shine, it shined in the darkness. And the darkness shuddered. Amen. The darkness shuddered because of the loss of its power. Praise God. It was not just a physical light and a physical darkness and the dividing of the light and the darkness from the day and the night. Amen. But the Bible says we are not of the night, but we are children of the daytime. We are the children of light. It was not just a physical light, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when God said, let there be light, God said, let there be a gospel of Jesus Christ. When God said, let there be light, amen, he had already worked out the plan of God for your life. Well, praise God. Somebody needs to lift up their head tonight. Somebody needs to get some joy in your heart. Amen. Quit worrying about the failures of the past and give your life to God and shout in the face of your trouble. Shout in the face of the devil. Shout in the face of darkness, and the darkness will flee from you. Well, praise God, and we can rejoice in the light of God. Well, give the Lord a hand clap of thanks tonight. Praise God. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. I just can't imagine what it was like. And then later on, after he commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, the Bible says he made the stars also. Just kind of in the span of his hand, almost, and not a magician, but he just... there they were. There was the universe in the span of his hand. Amen. From his little finger to the tip of his thumb, there's the universe. And somewhere, amen, down in there, God just went like this, and the universe got bigger and bigger, and God got down into the universe that he created. It went down even further, and God conceived in that Virgin Mary, and when that child was born, God stepped into that man, Jesus Christ, who is the mediator between us and God. Amen. God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Well, praise God. And there's a reason, excuse me, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face or in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise God. If you can just get a hold of Deuteronomy 6:4, if you can just get a hold of John chapter 1, amen, all the way through the chapter and get a revelation of who Jesus Christ is and what you received when you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what God put down inside of you, it wasn't something that just made you feel good while you were praying. It wasn't something that God put inside of you that only comes up and manifests itself when you come to church. No, I'm telling you, he gave us the light, the same light that he created in Genesis chapter 1, and he put that light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Well, praise the Lord. The glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. When we see Jesus, we see God. When we see Jesus, we see the glory of God. Amen. John chapter 1, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. God let his glory shine in the Immaculate Conception. God let his glory shine, amen, when he went to the temple at 12 years old and confounded the doctors and the lawyers. Well, praise God. God let his glory shine when he stood as a young man and said, peace be still, and the winds and the waves ceased. Amen. He let his glory shine when he spoke to the sick of the palsy and said, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Woo! Praise the Lord. We serve a God today who is filled with glory. Amen. We serve a God today who is awesome. Amen. Almighty, all-powerful, able to do anything. Amen. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in your heart tonight. I'm telling you, friend, if the glory of God can't do it, ain't nothing can do it. And I'm here to tell you, when you get the Holy Ghost, you've got more than enough. You've got more than enough. Amen. You've got more than enough to have the victory in your life. You just got to tap into it. Well, praise God. You just got to make a withdrawal. Amen. Because there's enough money in the spiritual bank. Praise God. There's enough in there to meet the need that you have in your life tonight. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure. The treasure that we have is the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And it's not just the knowledge of who he is, but it is the knowledge of the excellency of his power. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The excellency, what that means there, the excellency of the power means that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, not so that we can put a lock on it, not so that we can just, put it in, bring a safe to the church and we're going to lock it up when we leave, and when we come back we're going to unlock it and so on, but when we leave here it's not going to be of any value to us. I'm here to tell somebody tonight that when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, he didn't fill you with the Holy Ghost just at church. Thank God for the church. But my friend, the Holy Ghost is for you today, tomorrow, during the day, in the evening, in the middle of the night. Well, praise God. Because it is the treasure that has been put into earthen vessels. And the excellency of the power, amen, is the move of God in our lives. It is the manifestation of the power of God, amen. And he put it in this earthen vessel so none of us could brag. So that none of us could say, "I did this." Amen. None of us can say we did this. Praise God. But when it's all said and done, we're going to say, "God did this. God did this. God did this. God did this right here." Well, praise the Lord. I am what I am by the grace of God, and I will always be what I am by the grace and the power of God. The excellency of the power. If you're struggling with something tonight, I'm just encouraging you to read the word and pray in the Holy Ghost until God gives you liberty and victory over it. That's the excellency of the power. The Bible says we are more than overcomers through him that loved us. Praise God. That overcoming power, that overcoming victory that God has for you and I, amen, is the excellency of the power, the manifestation of it, amen. And it is the will of God that we live in victory. It is the will of God that the Spirit of God moves in our lives. And you're in the middle of troubles and problems and situations that you're trying to break free from. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, you can break free from it. Praise God. God did not call us to destroy us or to let us to be destroyed by the devil, by sin, and by this flesh. No, he did not. But God gave us the power of his Spirit and the power of the treasure in this earthen vessel, amen, so that the excellency of the power, amen, will begin to move in our lives. If you're battling with something tonight, lay it aside and say, "In Jesus' name, I'm not picking it up again." Well, praise God. Eternity's too long. Life's too short. It's time to get on with victory. It's time to get on with success. It's time to lay aside those failures of the past and get a hold of God's future and God's victory and God's will. Oh, praise God. Don't sell me a story, amen, of negativism. Amen. I've got a God who's on the throne tonight. He knows how to fix it. He knows how to take care of the situation. Praise God. Praise God. We have the treasure of the kingdom. And we have the favor of the God of this kingdom. You got to understand this. You've really got to get a hold of this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Turn with me tonight. Let's look at it for a moment. I'm not going to preach long, and I hope that we can get a hold of this here tonight. Amen. I hope that I can get a hold of this, because there are many things that will come and many things that will go, but the truth of God will stay forever. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, I begin to think about that. And sometimes we can look at that, and this is an error, I think, in sometimes in our heart, in our mind. The Bible says, if God be for us. Everybody said, if. When we look at that word, if, we look at it as a word that says maybe yes, maybe no. If God is for us. If God is on my side, if God loves me, if God cares about me, if the Word of God is powerful enough to lead and guide my life, that's not what that's meaning there. There's another meaning to that word, if. Amen. And you could substitute the word because. It's not if God is for us, but it is because God is for us. Or you could also use the word since. Since God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. You can substitute that word in there, and it would be accurate and correct. Amen. It's not a matter of yay and amen, or maybe yes, maybe no. Amen. The Bible says that the promises of God are not yea and nay, meaning maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe God is telling the truth over here, and over here it doesn't work. Maybe it works for somebody else, but it won't work for me. I'm telling you tonight, you got to lay aside that thinking. Amen. You got to lay aside that thinking, because we are not common individuals. We are people who have been installed with more than enough. Amen. With the excellency of the power, with the knowledge and the treasure of the kingdom that has been installed in our hearts. What shall we say then to these things? Since God be for us, who can be against us? God's for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did you hear that, devil? God is for me. Amen. Did you hear that, world? God is for me. Amen. I not only have the treasure of heaven, I have the favor of heaven. Woo! I'm not only a part of the church, I'm a part of the church that has the favor of heaven. I'm a part of the church that he purchased with his own blood. He's the head of the church. Well, praise God. He's investing his time and everything he has into this church. Well, praise God. And I refuse to say we're going down. We're not going down, we're going up. Amen. I don't have my head down, I've got my head up. You know why? I've got more than enough. I've got more than enough to supply the need in my life and in the church and whatever may come. Since God be for us, who can be against us? Yes. And I want to look at this a little bit closer here tonight. I want us to see this. You can be seated. Amen. Since God is for us, who can be against us? How do we know that he is for us? The next verse tells us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. how shall he not with him also stingily? That's not even a word, but God's stingy, right? And he gives to some people and he doesn't give to other people. That's not what that says. It says, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That's Calvary. How shall he not with him also? So it's not just Calvary, but it's you and I. He's going to freely give us all things. He's not just going to give you enough. He's going to give you more than enough. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And that word means super abundant, over and above, more than enough. Praise God. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, heaped up, running over. More than enough. More than enough. Praise God. God has promised that he has more than enough for you and I. He will freely give us all things. But here's what comes along. And I got to thinking about this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Amen. And so, the thing that we battle and the thing that we deal with is people and spirits. Or spirits that use people. Let's put it that way. Because we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against spirits and principalities and powers. And so here the scripture says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God's elect. Did you know that God elected you? God chose you? God said your name? You, I want you. That's how much God loves us. And God wants to bless our lives, but people will come along and they will lay charges against you. You know why? Because they don't understand what you have. And there's a myriad of reasons. I won't go into those tonight. I would not be able to touch on all of them if I tried. But people will lay charges against you. They will say things about you that are not true. They will say, this is how it is with you when it's really not that way. Amen. And most of the time when folks do that, they're trying to lord theirself over you. Or they're trying to make you feel sub, you know, they're up here and you're down here. But you know what? If you get into that arena of the ladder, so to speak. This ladder that goes to heaven isn't the ladder of success that we're all scrambling on trying to get success. But this is a one step at a time on the way to heaven, and we're all on this ladder by ourselves. Amen. And I'm not trying to get up and climb over Fred's back to get up there faster so that I can say, I'm up here and you guys are down there. If you go into that arena, you're going to have problems. But you know what? It's me and Jesus. It's me and the Lord. Me and Jesus and the church. Amen. The man of God in my life. I thank God for men of God in my life. Praise the Lord. I thank God for that sweet influence of the ministry in my life. It has changed me. It literally has changed my life. And I appreciate it. Amen. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And so you're going to deal with charges from people. Amen. But let's read on. It is God that justifieth. So in other words, if God gave you the Holy Ghost and you're doing the best you can, don't even listen to those folks. Amen. Because they'll steal your faith. They'll steal your belief that God is with you and that God wants to help you. He's given us more than enough. Who is he that condemneth? All right, so you're going to get condemnation from people now and from the devil. The Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren and the sisterins. Praise the Lord. Smile a little bit here tonight. Amen. He's the accuser, he is the condemner, And that word condemned there means they've already passed sentence and you are sentenced to die. No hope for you. We're just writing you off. Amen. And people will write you off. And they'll just, put you aside. Jesus said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Amen. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to negative people. Come on, somebody. Amen. Don't feast your eyes on negative things in the media of our world. Don't do it. You're only doing yourself a disservice. Amen. Because we have more than enough. Well, praise God. I have more than enough. Who is he that condemneth? Well, that's the devil and people that are used of him. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And so Paul is telling us how to deal with that condemnation, that spirit of condemnation. And there is false condemnation in our world today. And it will oppress the child of God and say, you're no good, you're condemned, you're never going to make it, you're going to be lost forever. And they'll say a myriad of things. I've had the devil tell me you're going to die. I've had the devil tell me you're not going to do anything, you're going to be lost. And I'll tell you what, when that experience hit me, it was the coldest feeling I've ever had in my life. I could feel the powers of hell when Satan did that. Amen. And it was real. It was very real. Amen. But finally, I shook myself and I said, I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. And when I said that, the whole air cleared. Everything was gone. And I had victory over that spirit. You cannot give in to the spirit of this age. Come on, somebody. It's always going to fall short. Amen. You can't give in to the spirit of the devil that'll try to speak to your life and to your heart. Amen. You cannot give in to it because in reality we have more than we need. Amen. I've got more than enough. Christ died for me. And yea, rather, he rose. And now he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He is in the position of authority and complete control and authority. Amen. Don't let the spirit of condemnation cheat you out of what God has for you. He died and he rose again and he ascended into heaven. Amen. And he is there on your behalf and my behalf. He's here tonight. On your behalf and on my behalf. Praise God. Somebody smile just a little bit. It's really great. I've got more than enough. And then he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Amen. And there will be people that will separate themselves from you. There will be people that will try to separate you from Jesus. And they will say all manner of evil. They will lie. Can you believe that? There, people will actually lie. They will lie. And they will say things that are not true. Amen. They will accuse things that are not true. They will do their very best to separate us from the love of Christ. In other words, that spirit that comes along, that spirit of separation, will come along and say, God doesn't love you. Wants to separate you from the love of Christ. God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. He's got more important people to deal with than you. He'll say that. But when the Lord comes along and he looks at the little poor widow that has two mites, that makes a farthing, whatever that is, amen. I just think of somebody with a couple of pennies in her hand. Amen. And that's all she had. And she had such a great need in her life. And she went up and it was everything she had. She put it in that offering and it caught the attention of God Almighty. And those that had their big checks and you know what? It's hard to pay the bills on two farthings. Amen. And the percentage is the same for all. Praise God. But they came and they probably had a big giant envelope and it had tithes and offering written on it. And they held it like this and it had the amount down there so everybody could see when they came up to put it in the offering. And they looked around and, oh, waved at so-and-so, you know, and put it in the offering plate. And the Lord said, you know who gave the most? It was that little widow that gave the most. She got the blessing out of it. Amen. Because out of her need, she gave everything that she had. And that spirit will tell you, amen, that you're a nobody, that you're nothing, amen, that you cannot make it. And what you are contributing is nothing at all. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's a lie from hell. Amen. But there is nothing. Paul said there is nothing. Now let's look at it here. I'm almost finished with this verse and then we're going to wrap this up here tonight. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation. Everybody said tribulation. You know what tribulation is? It's trouble. Trouble. Bills that come in the mail and you can't pay them. And your heart stirred up. And you begin to think, well, if God loves me, why am I having all these tribulations? Why am I having all of these problems? And I'm not going to go into that. But Peter said, think it not strange, the fiery trial which is to try you. God's going to work some great things out of your life eventually. Distress. Everybody said stress. That's what that word distress means. Stress. Oh, they had that back in the Bible days? Yep, they had it back in the Bible days. Amen. You talk about stress now. Oh, here we are. We worry about, I'm not even going to go there tonight, but we don't worry about tomorrow the authorities coming to our house. Brother Temeskin, I got to get this right. Brother Temeskin told me that while his mother was carrying him in her womb, that the authorities came to their house and they were looking to see if there was a Bible in their house. And they found a Bible in their house. And they took her and, no, he was not, he had been born, but she was nursing him. A little bitty infant. And they found a Bible in their house. They arrested her and took her to jail with Temeskin. He spent time in jail. Amen. For having a Bible in his house. How many of us are stressed out about that today? None of us are stressed out about that. You're not worried tomorrow that the authorities are going to come knocking on your door? Yes, we're looking for Bibles. Anybody have Bibles in here? And they start going through the drawers and they start going looking under the mattress. And if they find a Bible, you're in jail. We don't worry about that. But they worried about that in those days. Amen. That if you started to preach Jesus, you might not live through the next day. You might be killed for preaching the name of Jesus. But you know what? It did not separate them from the love of God. Amen. We get stressed out. Well, praise God. We get stressed out because we just don't feel good today. And you know what? We're supposed to feel good all the time. And I'm, dear God, help me here tonight. And Fred's supposed to make me happy. But he ain't doing a very good job. So I turned to Hunter, and Hunter, he ain't doing a very good job either. He says, man, I got my own life to live. Leave me alone. And then I go to Brother Amen. Amen. I was waiting for that. Praise God. I love you, Gavin. Amen. But you know what? He can't give me happiness. And I turn to the government, and they can't give me happiness. I turn to the boss on the job, and he can't give me happiness. He says, I got to still work in order to get a check. Amen. He's not cutting me any slack. My landlord's not cutting me any slack. Nobody's cutting me any slack. I got to work hard. And how can I have all these stresses in my life? Well, I want to tell you something tonight. Thank God you've got a place to live, and thank God you've got a job. Amen. Thank God you've got friends and you've got a church. But mostly, thank God you have Jesus in your life. Amen. Well, praise God, because He's going to see you through. I said He's going to see you through. How's He going to do it? I don't know how He's going to do it, but if you have stress in your life, don't let it separate you. It's the spirit of separation. Persecution, people putting you down for living for God. Amen. For going to church or whatever it is. All it is the spirit of separation. It's going to try to separate you. Amen. Famine. Oh, we don't need to talk about that. Has anybody got a problem with famine tonight? You haven't eaten in about 6 or 8 days? All right, I didn't think so. Let's move on from that one. Nakedness, I don't think we got any problem with that. Y'all look pretty well covered here tonight. Amen. Peril or sword? You know what? We really got it pretty good when you sit down and think about it. And then when you think about what's available to us, you look at all of these things, they're just a spirit of separation. Are they going to separate us from the love of Christ? Well, as long as we stay with Christ, amen. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. These spirits of separation will try to separate you from God, separate you from the love of God. But I'm here to tell you that what He has given us in the Holy Ghost and in the Word of God is more than enough to make it all the way. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Praise God. I was at a military thing one time. It's been many years ago, and it was in another state where I pastored, and they had a military, all the military tanks and vehicles and all of this, and we're talking, and my son Gregory was just a small little kid, and we're climbing over the tank and all of that, and we're looking at these trucks and all this, and they had a truck there, and it had three axles, and one was in the front. It was a front wheel axle. It was a back in the back, and the tires were about this big, and it was dual tires on the back and big tires in the front. And they said, you know what? This thing is so powerful. And they said, it'll run on any kind of fuel. It doesn't matter if you put gasoline in it, if you put diesel in it, if you put jet fuel in it. It doesn't matter what you put in it except water. It's going to run. And they said, that way, in any situation, we can keep this thing going and win this fight. They said, this thing is so strong, we can wrap a big chain around a tree and pull a tree out of the ground. I didn't ask them what kind of gas mileage it got. Probably not too good. Maybe 5 gallons to the mile. Praise the Lord. And it's a big old thing, and you sit up real high. And then they got the tanks over there, and the tanks are even stronger. And my son got to climbing down in and around and inside the tank, and all of a sudden one of the guys goes, hey, and he starts running. He jumps into that tank, and he goes down in there. My son had flipped the on switch. And he said, if you'd have flipped one more switch, this thing would have started. Now, can you imagine, Fred? Now, I don't know how much that big thing with the three axles cost, probably a couple $100,000. You need a car to drive to work and back, right? Get one of those. 5 gallons to the mile, only take 10 gallons a day to get to work and back, and man, you can cruise down Main Street and be the talk of the town. And then if something comes up, yeah, I can handle it. I got more than enough in this thing. Wrap it around a tree, pull the tree out. And then as a backup, just go ahead and buy one of those tanks. And you can drive that to work, you know. And then if somebody needs their house moved, you just throw a chain around their house and just move their house. You know what we have in the gospel? We've got one of them big tanks, one of them big M1 Abram tanks that's about 15 feet wide and about 20 feet long, and it's powered by a jet engine inside of it. It'll go 70 miles an hour. It'll tear up ground. It'll blow up things. It'll destroy stuff. Really cool. And get one of those, just $2-3 million, and just drive it to work and back. You know what? As Christians, I think that's what we do sometimes. We have the power of the Holy Ghost. We have the Word of God. We have the favor of heaven. We can pull houses. We can uproot trees. We can blow up things. We've got all sorts of ability, and we're driving this thing to work and back. Driving it to church and back, and that's it. Why don't you use the power that you've got? Well, I didn't know I had that much power. Just push the gas pedal down. And everybody go, wow, awesome. So now you guys know what to save your money for. Amen. Praise God. We've got something here that has been given to us that has so much tremendous power. Go out 400 highway for a ways, good distance out there, and there'll be a sign that'll say Big Something, Big John or something. And it's this big, gigantic steam engine thing that digs the ground up. And the bucket on that thing is probably as wide as this sanctuary. It stands a couple of hundred feet tall. It's got a massive engine in it, and it will dig lakes out. Because they call them the strip pits. And they're 90, 100 feet deep, and they were digging coal out. One big old... ground shaking. You need to get one of those to drive to work and back, Fred. Make a statement. I'm tough. Flex your muscles while you're driving it. Look real cool. It's about 500 gallons per mile. When they sent the man to the moon, they had the big Saturn V rocket that weighed millions of pounds. And it stuck up in the air hundreds of feet. And they had a big, big platform that they moved that rocket from the place where they put it together to the launching pad. And it had massive engines in it. Those steel plates that made the track were massive. They weighed tons apiece, and there were all of these tracks. It went about 1 mile per hour. Full throttle, 1 mile an hour. It took them several hours to get from that place to where the launching pad was. Get one of those to go to work in. I'm just making an illustration here tonight of the power that God has given us in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't use it just to go to work and back. Amen. If there's something in the realm of the Spirit that needs to be destroyed in your life, put the biggest cartridge in there and let her fly. Put it in the crosshairs. If there's something in your life that needs to be dug out, get the power. The ground's going to shake and devils are going to be running all over the place. They know the power that they have. Look at the people of Israel. They are more and mightier than us. Come on, somebody. I'm finishing. They're more and mightier, Deontay, they're more and mightier than we are. Let's fool them. Let's trick them into thinking that they're not as strong as they are. And that's exactly what the devil does. And for 400 years they were in bondage. I know it was prophesied, but this is how it all happened. Amen. The devil will lie to you and tell you that you do not have the power. But I'm telling you, what you need to do is just get the key out, put it in, and turn the key on. Let's stand together, and you're going to hear the rumble of the motors, and you're going to feel the power of this thing. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You got to have enough power to do what you're going to do. I was digging up a stump just down the street here. Brother Carricker, pastor in Hutchison, came over and helped me, and I'm digging. I had a front track hoe, and I'm digging. And I grab a hold of something, and the whole track hoe would come up. Come back down, dig around it some more. Kept digging. And finally I said, Brother Carricker, this thing doesn't want to come out. Let's hook your 4x4 pickup truck on it. And I'll pull this way, and you pull that way. And he said, all right. We got a chain and wrapped it around that thing, hooked it onto his pickup, and he started going back and forth, and I started going back and forth. We worked so hard on it. It took us all day, and finally that thing cut loose. And it's sitting down there on a pile as a testimony, amen, of what troubles can cause you and how long it'll take you. I'm about ready to get rid of it. I'm tired of looking at it. We just had barely enough power to get the job done. And it's frustrating. You're working all day long. This thing just doesn't want to give. It's got a lot of hold in my life, and it just doesn't want to give. Amen. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you're not just barely getting by with enough. There's more than enough. There's more than enough. Come on, somebody, say it to yourself. There's more than enough. I've got more than enough in Jesus. I've got more than enough in the Word of God. Resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And you can walk in victory. Can we lift our hands right now? And let's just ask God to have his way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let your will be done right now, Father. Speak to the hearts. Oh God, lift us up tonight into your presence. Why don't you come right now?